First, I'll just say that this presentation is kind of about the challenges we've had in Vermont with ELR onboarding. I know a lot of states are past this, they're doing ECR and all these other great informatics projects, but we're still kind of in the ELR phase of things. So where to start? Essentially, we want to get from here to there, so onboard all of our hospital laboratories for ELR. We have 14 hospitals in the state, including Dartmouth, which is in New Hampshire, and we only have two, Dartmouth and the University of Vermont, onboarded for ELR. So how do we get all of them onboarded in an efficient and timely way? The implementation team that's been tasked with this project is Infectious Disease Epi, which is where I sit, and also within our IT group, we have a Health Information Exchange section. I don't want to go into too many details of this timeline, but it's just kind of to show how long things have been taking. All of the facilities were signed up for meaningful use in the beginning, mid 2014, and all of our Vermont labs were signed up in the dev or started in the development environment by the end of 2014. It's 2017 now, and we only have two facilities that are actually onboarding in production, with three in the test phase. So it's a pretty slow process. Some of the challenges that we face in Vermont leading to this kind of long process is, one, is having undefined roles for our implementation team, and that's caused a lot of tension between Epi and IT. We have a lot of low-volume hospitals, disengaged hospitals, no support from our state-sanctioned health information exchange, and then we've been using different methods for onboarding for our facilities, which kind of has led to some issues with how, you know, decision-making when we do face problems. And another challenge is a diagnosis that was made, over-anxious ELR syndrome, which Mark Dittman from the Pennsylvania Department of Health, I don't know if he's here or not, but which is essentially just over-obsessing on the idea of needing confidence that these hospital labs are capable of sending an HL7 result for every test that we maybe haven't seen in dev or test environments, essentially just having perfect ELRs. Really, it's kind of just a vicious cycle. We have a lot of low-volume hospitals that have few test results that they send to us. So they're in test phase or dev phase for long periods of time. They disengage. We get anxious. We re-engage, but they're still low-volume hospitals. So how can we change this and shift and move them into production? So how can we fix this? The process, I'm sure, is very similar for all states and jurisdictions, hospital labs, dev, test, and production. The process is really not too complex, but we really do need to find roles for IT and Epi and all stakeholders involved. We have an ELR project charter that we revisited in the last year. We had some staff changes. And so the purpose of it is to have a project scope, really define the roles for Epi and IT and both a project timeline, and then some risks defined with the whole process. And one thing is because, like I mentioned, we've had some tension between the two groups. The meeting was led by someone, a staff member outside of both sections, which was really helpful and kind of helped answer the right questions and ask the right questions to really define these roles. We also reached out to some of our partners in states, so Kansas, Pennsylvania, and Maine. CDC referred them to us because they do a good job with their low-volume hospitals and onboarding them. And kind of the takeaway message from all of them was, get your hospitals into production and you can fix issues along the way. You can leave paper on status for longer periods of time for the low-volume hospitals, and you can have them make fake results in the testing phase to kind of get you confident for their HL7 messages. So what is working in Vermont? One, I would say our relationship between Epi and IT has really improved a lot. Staff changes have helped. Having these defined roles, we meet regularly. We work very closely together now. Beforehand, I think it was a little more siloed and, you know, not sure who should be doing this and who should be doing that. And so these biweekly meetings that we have really helped. And then also we've implemented or are implementing a systematic approach that I'm sure most states already have, but we needed clearly defined and repeatable steps and an evaluation for our outcomes. And we've really tried to focus on the process of getting there rather than the outcome. And here I have hopefully created an effective method of moving forward with our remaining hospitals, because we haven't actually started it like it was meant to be started earlier this year when I was designing this presentation or abstract. But we'll get to that in a minute. And then overcoming some of our challenges, the validating and reconciling. We don't have just one person devoted full time to these validation and reconciling reports. So we really need better methods of going through these quickly and efficiently. And then enforcing our approach with the laboratories. So this is just a little screenshot of our new updated onboarding plan, the road to ELR implementation. It's really a guidance document for our hospital laboratories and IT staff. And like I mentioned, we're going to have hospitals provide fake lab results for a subset of our reportable conditions to get more confidence that they're able to send, you know, West Nile virus, for example, if they haven't had one during the dev or test phase. And this is just an example from the document, kind of where the IT's and lab staff's role is in every phase through the process. We're also tracking our tasks and data better. IT started using the JIRA software for this project in the last 6 months to track our issues and tasks for both IT and Epi. And then we're also tracking our ELRs in the test environment, and we hope to share these results with the facility as we move through the process. Of course, we're also tracking our ELR progress. There's nothing really super remarkable about this graph, but one thing that I find interesting is if you look at the green bar chart, it's what it's looking at is the percent of electronic lab report indicator yes by program area in our surveillance system. And so the green is just general communicable disease, and it's actually decreasing because these other colors are increasing. So we're doing a better job getting STD and HIV reports electronically, which has been an improvement over the last couple of years. Challenges still exist. We have to keep this ball rolling. Like I said, we've lost momentum. We were going to start implementing our new plan in March, and it's June, and we still haven't. So, it, you know, it takes a team, and we got to kind of keep pushing to get this going. And we have a lot of challenges with our EMR vendors. I can't remember what talk it was. It was on one of the eShare calls, I believe, and I'm not sure who said this. But they said that they heard an EMR vendor say, and I paraphrased here, but public health is like a gnat. They keep pestering you and give nothing back. So when our EMR vendors have this opinion of public health, it can be a little challenging to push them to get, you know, what we need to improve our programs. And then we still continue to have these small hospitals. That's not changing. And they have few staff, and sometimes half or a quarter of a staff member devoted to ELR or less, with little experience in IT. Sometimes it's a lab technician who just happens to be tech savvy. And so that's also been a challenge with some of our very small hospitals. I wanted to acknowledge that our HIE IT team, I mean, we work closely every day. Charlie, he's the project manager. He started about 6 months ago. And then John, Suhasi, and Dwayne are all the IT team. And then our Epi team, Jen, Chelsea, and Laura Ann, and Jennifer and Laura Ann are here at the conference. Thank you.
Great presentation. Thinking about that nap. time for some questions.
Hi, David Sweat, Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, so the nap problem.
Yes.
All right. So, and I encounter this all the time, and we actually had a health information exchange that just went on, just dissolved, and we were on the verge. We had been working toward some really cool data sharing stuff, and then they just basically, their mechanism for paying for themselves to exist disappeared, and the hospitals pulled out of it and quit putting money into it, and it just died.
Yeah.
You know, so what if you could build a wish, like if you could come to all the powers that be and you could be grand poobah for a day,
okay,
what would you like to have public health offer to the vendors as the thing back that would make it worth their while to work with us when we're not paying them? And that's what hospitals do. Hospitals pay. We don't have money to do that, so what could we offer that would get through the NAP problem?
Well, I will say, I mean, with the meaningful use money, and I know that there was a lot of expectations from the hospitals with meaningful use money, but they did get some money from public health, right? To do these, so that's one thing. But I think a thing that would be helpful is, like you're saying, your health information exchange disappeared. Ours, our state-sanctioned one, it collects all this data, but it's refusing to separate it out for us so we can just get the lab ones, so we've had to not work with them for this. So ideally, if we had health information exchanges do what they're supposed to do and gather all this information so not 25 people are asking these lab or hospital IT or EMR vendors to do the same thing for different groups, I think that would be ideal, because then we're only asking it once and not 25 times. And I don't know what we could give back, but at least that would be helpful and for their time, resources, and everyone's really.
I want to help you answer that question,
okay.
Veronica. Yeah.
Thank you.
I almost think that question, and again, no offense intended, but it's a little bit naive. And I agree with you, Veronica. I mean, up until the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, but up until the High Tech Act passed, and whatever that was after the 2008 recession hit, and we had a shovel-ready project, and it launched meaningful use. Up until that time, it was like we actually, enticed labs to do an ELR interface by offering them a little bit of upfront money, $3,000, $5,000. You know, we paid a little bit of money to get them to engage with us to do ELR, even though we felt it was a win for them because they would no longer have to do manual reporting,
Right.
But once the High Tech Act, the vendors, I think they made out like bandits, because they got reimbursed to create meaningful use qualified software. And that software then was purchased by hospitals. And so the vendors are the fat cats, the private sector, Epic, Sunquest, Cerner. What are we doing to reward them or entice them? That I find the question about us being a gnat, the vendor saying that, is really offensive.
I agree. I mean, that's why I put it in there.
I'm a little bit outraged by it. Yeah. But then to go on, who do we need to entice? Well, we're doing point-to-point interfaces. All of us are. We'd like to move maybe to an HIE where they do all of the interfacing and we have a single interface.
Right.
We do point-to-point interface, so it does take bandwidth on the part of the laboratory or the hospital's part to get us an interface built. That does take serious bandwidth. The offense is that Meditech, McKesson, Epic sold software but don't want to support their customer to help them get that software to work to do electronic lab reporting to public health.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
I really think the entire public health community has to be looking at this with eyes wide open. I really loved your talk, Veronica, and your honesty when we do electronic health case reporting, because we're moving from a limited number of interfaces with just laboratories to a whole range of providers with clinic-based electronic health records that we may be trying to get information out of.
Right.
So we started in the early days. I showed our first ELR from LabCorp in 2003,
mm-hmm.
and we still are in your situation with certain laboratories where they won't join us for a weekly conference call to help advance the interface we're trying to build with their facility. So.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions?
Happy to entertain alternative comments. Probably no vendors here that disagree with me, but that's my view of the world.
Yes.
I don't think we owe the vendors anything.
Yes, that's true.
So, on that note, I want to thank all the presenters. Really great session here, and I don't know if you can stick around for a minute or two in case anyone else can come up and ask individual questions, exchange cards, or whatever, but it was a really great session. Thank you all very much.